Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 35, verse 1, 2, and 4. Since with my God, with perfect heart, I walk and make his word my guide, and from iniquity depart, the Lord his blessing will provide. It is 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 35.
Thank you.
The scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, there of the 11th chapter, beginning with the 7th verse to the end. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but this seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cow, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Matthew 11, beginning with verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet, for this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of woman, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer this morning Jeff and Maria Korvar and their children as they will be moving to Rostherne, Saskatchewan this week. And we also wish to remember Keith and Diane Murray, who hope to go to Quebec tomorrow as their granddaughter, who is 3 years old, Lucy Ann, has been diagnosed with leukemia. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee we live and move and have our being, and without thee we cannot do anything. We are completely dependent upon thee. Our life is in thy hands. And thou art the almighty, sovereign Lord God of heaven and earth. And Lord, in thy goodness and mercy, today on this beautiful day in thy creation, we may enter again into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy precious word. And Lord, we beg thee then, as we have gathered together as a congregation, we beg thee that thou would gather with us. Lord, come with thy presence, with the power of the Holy Spirit, and bless thy word richly, mightily, powerfully, irresistibly, for the glory of thy name. May the angels in heaven rejoice over sinners that are brought to repentance. Lord, may thy kingdom come. May more be gathered into that fold. May sinners be born again by the power of God, born of God. But also remember poor and needy sinners, those who have no rest for their souls, who are weary, laboring, and heavy laden. Oh, may they hear the voice of that good shepherd through the preaching of thy word today. As he speaks, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. O Lord, wilt thou draw then to thyself poor and needy, wretched, guilty, lost, trembling, undone sinners who can find no rest in self and who can find no rest in anything and are looking for that rest, seeking for that rest with thee, that peace with God, that favor of God, the communion with God. O Lord, we beg thee then that thou would richly bless the outward call of the gospel, and that it may come inwardly, that it may enlighten minds and go into our hearts, and that sinners would be drawn to thee irresistibly, but also that poor and needy sinners may experience in thee, through thy Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that only rest, that rest that is in thee, that rest that thou hast purchased with thy precious blood. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, wilt thou come and bless us with thy grace, with thy presence, work irresistibly, that there may be comfort through thee, by thee, and that it may return unto thee. Thou art worthy to be honored and glorified and praised. We ask, Lord, then, that thou would take away all the obstacles and the hindrances in preaching and in listening, and give us a good hour in thy house, that there may be food and drink for poor and needy sinners. Lord, we lay before thee also the family who hopes to move to Saskatchewan this week. Remember Jeff and Maria and their children. Keep, guide, and protect them, that they may arrive at that place safely, and that they may also begin to feel at home there in Saskatchewan. But may they also experience that God is everywhere present, that they may experience thy favor there, and that they may be made a blessing among the people whom they may dwell, and that those people may be a blessing for them. Remember their family who they leave behind. Care for each one, Lord, and teach us all that we are all traveling to a never-ending eternity. And no matter where we live upon this earth, we need to be reconciled with thee. We need to be prepared to meet thee. And there's only one way to meet thee in peace, and that is through thy Son. Oh, we beg thee then, richly bless the precious gospel, that he may become so necessary, that he may become so suitable and precious for poor and needy sinners. We ask thee and beg thee, Lord, also to remember a granddaughter, Lucianne in Quebec, who has been very sick and who went to the hospital, and they fear that she has leukemia and needs further testing. Remember this little girl, Lord. We beg thee that in this sickness, that she may also learn of a greater sickness, an incurable disease of sin, and that she may come to know that great physician, care for the parents, the family, the grandparents, also those who hope to travel tomorrow. Keep, guide, and protect them. And may we beg thee, Lord, thou art the Almighty God, spare her life. Bless the means that may be used for her body, and bless thy word above all for her never-dying soul. Lord, remember all those who have sicknesses, cares, concerns for the body, for the mind. Help each one, Lord. Bless the means that may be used. Remember all those who are mourning. Comfort them. Thou art that God of all comfort. Lord, wilt thou comfort us with that only comfort that is in life and in death, that we do not belong to ourselves, but that we belong unto thee, that triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, richly bless thy word irresistibly by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may learn and know and feel and experience how great my sins and miseries are, and that there may be that cry, what must I do to be saved? How can I be just before God? And Lord, teach us that only way of deliverance through thy dear Son, and that there may then flow, for thy honor, for thy glory, that life of gratitude. Lord, this is not a work of man. There's no hope in us. But we lift up our eyes unto thee together as a congregation, and we beg thee for thy grace, for thy work in our hearts, in the hearts of our dear children, teenagers, young adults, parents, fathers, mothers, older ones. Lord, we beg thee, work in each one and draw to thyself. Lord, we beg thee and ask thee also on thy day to bless all mission work among Jew and Gentile throughout this world. blessed richly, Lord. Thou hast promised in thy word that they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and there will be one flock. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then richly bless thy word. Help all thy servants, all evangelists, all missionaries, and also remember the elders in the vacant congregations. Remember the student, help him, help his instructors, Lord. And may we remain students at thy feet to be instructed by thee. Lord, we beg thee, remember the people in Bolivia also. Work mightily among them. Richly bless thy word there in Tarija, in Luján, in Santa Cruz, and in Loma Alta, and in Rincón, and in other places. Help the office bearers there, the elders, the deacons. Remember thy servant there and all thy servants. And remember the team and their families. Help each one, Lord. And may we all be used as instruments, nothing in self, but expecting and looking and longing and needing everything from thee. Lord, we beg thee then, give us a good hour in thy house this morning. Cast out the evil one who would like to pluck at the seed that is sown. Lord, give opening to preach. Guide and lead. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit. And may we not fear men and not desire their favor, but that we may speak, thus saith the Lord, and that thou would richly bless it. Lord, we deserve nothing. We only deserve that thou would pass us by. But, oh, we beg thee, upon the merits of thy dear beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased, upon his blood, upon his righteousness. And, Lord, thou hast said, I do it not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. May we plead for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue now with singing from Psalter 290, the first five stanzas. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. Psalter 290, the first five stanzas, and the collections for today is for the church and for the school. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we read in Matthew 11, verse 25, at that time Jesus answered. Is he answering a question? No. Answering in the Bible can be responding to a certain circumstance or a situation. So what is the Lord Jesus Christ responding to? Two things. First, in Matthew 11, Jesus is responding to the reaction of the Jews to the preaching of himself and of the preaching of John the Baptist. The Lord Jesus taught and preached, as we read in Matthew 11, verse 1. And John the Baptist also preached, as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11, 7 through 14. So the Lord Jesus, in the first place, is responding to how the people reacted to the preaching of Jesus Christ and of John the Baptist. How did they respond? Well, to the preaching of John, we read in verse 18, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. How did they respond to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? We read that in verse 19, for the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. So Jesus Christ is responding to the preaching to the unrepentant, unbelieving, hard, dead sinners, to the preaching of the gospel. He uses very strong words for those people who were so blessed. Blessed above all the people of the whole earth. Listen, in verse 20, then he began to upbraid, a very strong word, the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. So the Lord Jesus, responding to those who heard the gospel, who saw many mighty, marvelous works of the Lord Jesus, and remained hard and dead, rejecting and unrepentant. Woe! But he's also responding, because in Matthew 10, he sent out the 12 disciples to preach and to teach, and they did miracles. But he's also responding to 70 of the men that he sent out, because a parallel passage is in Luke chapter 10. So the disciples came back. Those 70 came back and they give a report. They give a report of the mighty miracles they had done, but also of some of the fruits on the preaching. We read in Luke 10 verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And the Lord Jesus then says the parallel verses in verse 21 through 23, what we read in Matthew 11. So the Lord Jesus rebukes the unrepentant. And what does he do of hearing that others that were blessed by the preaching? Does he say, oh, what good people? No, what does he do? You see him standing there? Woe! And then you can, so to say, see him lifting up his eyes unto his Father in heaven. He praises and thanks his Father for the blessing upon the preaching. It all comes from him. Matthew 11, verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seem good in thy sight. The Lord Jesus give thanks unto the Almighty God of heaven on earth upon the blessing of the preaching of the word. His Father revealed it unto them. Remember, Peter, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Whom do men say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God." What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? "Oh, Peter, you are so good." No. Read in Matthew 16, verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Salvation is by free and sovereign grace of God and to the glory of God. Salvation is not of man. Of men we will only reject and harden our hearts. It's by a revelation. God the Father reveals unto sinners who they are, who his Son is, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11, verse 27. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Imagine standing there and listening to these words of Jesus Christ. And you heard it this morning also. Imagine standing there with a load of sin and guilt, with a cry in your heart, "How can I be just with God? I need that grace. Is there hope for me? Is there hope for this sinner?" Sinners listening, trembling, "I need that revelation. I need that for my soul." As we sung in Psalter 290, verse 4, "O Lord, remember me in grace. Let me salvation so see. That grace thou showest to that saints, that grace reveal to me." Is that how you came this morning? Lost, guilty, weary, needing rest, can't finding any rest for your soul? Very blessed, but your soul, you can't find rest. How? How will such poor, needy, undone sinners ever find rest? Well, then the Lord speaks immediately after this. He speaks an invitation. And that is what we will speak about this morning. An invitation from Jesus Christ. And may the Lord richly, powerfully, irresistibly bless his word, that it may enter into your ear and into your heart, poor needy sinner, and that you may be drawn to him, and that you may find rest, true rest for your weary soul. And so this morning, with the help of the Lord, we will meditate upon Matthew 11, verse 28. Where we read in the word of God, and these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So the theme this morning is Christ welcomes weary sinners. Christ welcomes weary sinners. Three thoughts. First, a description of the weary. Who are they? Well, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Why does the Lord Jesus give a description? Why must we give a description? We'll speak about that. So first, a description of the weary. Second, an invitation to the weary. Come unto me. Does he mean it? Does he mean it? He means it, congregation. We'll speak about that. Come unto me. A promise for the weary. What's the promise? And I will give you rest. So Christ welcomes weary sinners. A description of the weary, an invitation to the weary, and a promise to the weary. Dear congregation, every person has a burden. Every person has a load. Why? Why does every person in the whole world have a burden, have a load? Because we rebelled against God. All of us. And everyone in Cortland, everyone in Canada has a burden. Romans 5 verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. And we read further in the same chapter, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. How are we to describe all men, all boys, all girls throughout the whole world, and all who are here this morning? Every one of you, all of us, have a load of original sin, which we receive from our head Adam by his sin. We all have that load of original sin, and each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, has our own actual sin. We all have a debt. We all have a burden, without exception. But what a difference. What a difference among us. What a difference among all the people in the whole world. Some see it. Some know it. Some feel it. And others have it, but they don't see it. They don't believe it. They don't feel it. What a difference. Some have a great debt, but have no experience with that debt that is on their back. It doesn't cause them to be weary at all. They hear about it through the law, but they don't believe it. They're dead. They hear the gospel, but they reject it. They carry on unrepentant and hardening their hearts. Let's picture for a moment, in the time of Jesus, a marketplace. There's a marketplace. And in this marketplace, lots of wares, lots of merchandise were brought to this marketplace. And those that came to sell their wares, they couldn't just take their carts in there. They couldn't bring their animals in there because the streets were so narrow. And they had to bring all the things that they wanted to sell in that market. How would they get them there? So they would hire the most poor people, the poor men. They'd hire them for a little bit of money. And they'd load that man with a great load. And you could see this man then staggering through the streets going to the market. But there's other people there. They just happily walk around. But this is a physical illustration. But this text this morning, the words of Jesus Christ, it's a description. It's a spiritual description. It's not about a physical load. It's about a spiritual load. Spiritually weary. How should I describe these two types of people? Two types of people, spiritually. All have a load, but those that feel it and those that do not. Those who do not are blind and dead. They are in the service of sin, the world, Satan, and self. They're just happy. Maybe they know in their heads they have sin, but they don't feel it. They don't see their burden. There's no need. They're on the broad way to destruction. And they can be on this Broadway very careless, like a prodigal, or they can be on the Broadway very religious, yet dead. Maybe they have some pricks in their hearts, some convictions, but they resist and they carry on in sin. No experience. No experiential knowledge of the weight of sin and sinning against the good-doing God. Maybe they're like a Pharisee who looked at that publican feeling so much better. And what did he say? God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, adulterers, extortioners, unjust, or even as this publican, feeling smug in themselves or very careless. Maybe even coming to church because you want to quiet your conscience. But trying to get as much out of this life as possible and never weep. Never have any sorrow over sin. They're not weary with themselves. And they don't seek any resting place. Jesus Christ said, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friend, does this describe you this morning? Lost? Dead? No burden? Not weary? Not seeking any rest? Coming to church to quiet your conscience, but no need? Oh, I pray this morning you would be awakened by the power of the Holy Spirit and that you would see that load that is on your back, because it is there, and that you would have such an urgency that you'd be awakened and that you would cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? That would be a blessing. That would be a great blessing today. But there's that other group of people. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 11 verse 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How does the Lord Jesus Christ describe them? With one word and a phrase, laden and labor and heavy laden. A word and a phrase. Why do we need to describe them? Why? Why, congregation? Why do we need to describe them through the Word of God? Why did Jesus Christ describe them? Is that to put a wall around the gospel? No. Not at all. Absolutely not. Why? Why do we need to describe them? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ describe them? Because those poor sinners, those poor, weary, undone sinners, they wonder, could it be for me? Is he actually inviting me? Is that a word for me? It can't be for me. I'm so horrible, so sinful, so wicked, so corrupt, so wretched. He gives a description so that those poor ones may hear, I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. For me? Yes, for you. That's the reason. And may you hear it this morning, poor, weary, laboring, and heavy laden, undone, poor, wretched sinner. May you hear it. He speaks to you, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Congregation, we all know what it is to labor and to get tired, right? Children, you do a big day at school or schoolwork at home, and you become tired. Teenagers, you work and you become tired. Adults, we work and we become tired. We all know what it is to need rest. But this is about a physical need. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about a spiritual need. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. Who are these people? They're taught by Jesus Christ, that good shepherd of the sheep. He's taught by the law. They're taught about who they are, what they have done, who they are in Adam, but also what they have done, what they still do, and what they remain to be. Yes, who they still remain to be. Spiritually weary. Weary. They maybe have never tasted any rest in their soul yet. Is there such here this morning? Never had any rest for your soul in that only place of rest at the feet of the great Savior Jesus Christ? Or they may have experienced something of that rest in the past, but they've gone astray, they've backslidden, they fell in sin. And now they're tossed with tempest and afflicted. There's no comfort for my soul. They long comfort again. They tasted it. They miss it. They long for it. Is that you? Never tasted any rest yet? But again, longing for rest for my soul? What's the burden on that man's back, children? Remember in Pilgrim's Progress? Christian, he had a big burden on his back. What's one word that describes that burden? You know it. Sin. Sin. What causes them to be laboring and heavy laden? Why do they become so weary? They labor and are heavy laden. What does labor mean? That means to become exhausted, trying to attain something, trying to obtain something, but it becomes absolutely impossible, unable, fainting, weary, staggering with a burden on your back. No rest, groaning under the burden of sin. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against a good doing God. I hate sin because it's against God. He poured love in my heart. There's love for Him. I wish I could get rid of all sin. I want His favor. I want a little communion with Him, a little smile, a little token of His love for me. And they try by the law, but it becomes so absolutely impossible. No rest. Weary. Weary. Oh, they want to keep the law. Why? They also want to keep the law because it's a way to express love to God. For God, there's love for Him. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." But it becomes impossible. And there's a thick cloud between them and God. Oh, that He would show His face. Did He give a little comfort? Did He speak to my soul again? They become weary of sinful self. What do they learn about self? What do they learn about their heart? What's a word that I should describe what they see in their hearts? A sewer pit. Yes, a sewer pit. It's filthy. It's abominable. All the sin in there. A mighty stream of foul transgressions prevails from day to day. Is that you? Do you see a little something of it? Weary of the power of sin, how it pulls at your heart. Weary of the temptations of Satan. Weary of the assaults of Satan. Weary of the wickedness of their hearts, of their unbelief. Evil thoughts. Sinful thoughts, sinful affections, sinful desires. It's all sin. And they become so weary. Weary of self. Weary of self. Do they get better and better? No. They don't find it gets better and better. It gets worse and worse. Worse and worse. Wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Listen to two verses from Psalm 38. Is this you? For my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Is that you? Psalm 38, verse 6. I am troubled. I am bowed down. I go mourning all the day long. Is this you? Feeling short in everything? Sinful, guilty, no peace, no rest for my soul. He says, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Laboring. But what did the Lord Jesus mean by heavy laden? Laboring is their own guilt. The verb is active. It's their own guilt. But heavy laden, it's somebody putting another load on them. They receive it. What? Could you imagine? Look at that man in the market, children, with that great big load, and somebody comes beside him and puts another 100 pounds on his back. Heavy laden is somebody putting a load on someone else. You say, that's cruel. Who would do a thing like this? We need to understand this text and this description in the time of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees. When sinners were awakened and they would go to the leaders of the church, the Pharisees, what would they do? They would put an extra load on their back. What did Jesus reprimand the Pharisees? Luke 11, verse 46. And He said, woe unto ye also, ye lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne. Those poor sinners would go to the leaders of the church and they would tell them, go do more laws. More laws. Their doctrine was justification by works. And those poor sinners, they would work and work. They became so weary, so lost, so helpless. And what a lesson for us as leaders, elders, deacons, myself, over this flock. when poor, needy sinners come crying under a load of sin. We hope to hear this. We long to hear this, that you cry out first to God, but maybe to us also. What must I do to be saved? And then imagine you come to us and we say, well, you need to keep the Ten Commandments, or you cannot be saved, or we give you a whole list of requirements. No. What did evangelists do to Christian? Remember when that he was by Mount Sinai and he felt that whole mountain was going to fall on him? He became so hopeless, he was out of the way. Evangelists had to point him. He didn't point him to Mount Sinai. He pointed him to the gate. He pointed him to Christ. That's the place of rest. That's the place of safety. Let's go back to that illustration in the marketplace. You see those people walking there? You see them? You see that man with a great load and others just walking around? And then you hear someone call, come. Come here, sir. Bring your load here. Put it down here. This is where it needs to be. And have some rest. He speaks, he invites this man to come and to put the load down here so that he may have some rest. What draws sinners to Jesus Christ? What draws those heavy laden, burdened sinners, weary sinners to Christ? What? You say they must be born again. Amen. They need God's grace. Amen. They need the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But what draws them? What draws those weary ones? Those heavy laden ones that have no rest to that only place of rest? What drew Noah into the ark? Come, Noah. The invitation. The invitation. And so we go to our second thought, an invitation to the weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What a gracious invitation, congregation. We only deserve that the Lord would say, go. Go. There's no more hope for you, you wicked sinner. But he says, come. Come. No hard conditions to first fulfill. No law to first fulfill. No works to better yourself first. No, he says, come. Come. Come with all your sin. Come with all your burdens, all your guilt, all your weariness, all your troubles, all your wretchedness. Come. Come unto me. Me. And I will give you rest. Who's speaking? Who is this invitation from? You say, the pastor is preaching. No, it's not from me. I'm just a mouthpiece. It's not from me. It's not from one of the prophets. It's not even from Matthew. Who's it from? Who's speaking? The value of the invitation depends on who's giving the invitation. Who's the invitation from this morning, congregation? It's from Jesus Christ. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and spoke. The invitation comes from the precious lips of Jesus Christ, the mediator, the savior of sinners, the savior of weary sinners. What a precious savior. What precious lips. What precious grace flows from his lips. Psalm 45 verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. This gracious invitation is from Emmanuel, God with us. It's from the only mediator between a holy God and a wretched, lost sinner. It comes from Jesus Christ. He speaks the truth. Proverbs 8, verse 6 and 7. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth. But is he able to perform what he promises? Is he? To encourage the weary, to draw them, to receive the invitation, we need to consider the power of him that speaks, that he's able to perform what he promises to do. What did he say in verse 27? All things are delivered unto me of my Father. He created all things. He has all power. He's God, a very God. The Almighty God, the Savior, the Almighty God is speaking. He has power. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He can say, live, and live. Can he lack power to give what he promises? He's equal with God. Did he not say all things? No, he did not say some things. He said all things are possible with God. Dear congregation, we must conclude he has the power. He has the power to perform what he promises. But you say, is he willing? Is he willing? Is he willing? What do you think? What's the answer, congregation? He's willing. He's willing. That precious promise, that invitation that he proclaims, is he willing? I need to know this morning. Otherwise, there's no comfort. He's willing. Listen. Think of him in eternity. In the Council of Peace, God the Father, in his infinite wisdom, thought of a way to save such weary, lost, undone, hopeless sinners. He's willing. God the Father sent his own Son. He's willing. Jesus Christ willingly came to this earth. He's willing. He left his glories and he humbled himself. He came so low. He came to this very earth where all he saw and heard was sin. He was anointed and appointed to seek and to save such lost sinners. He became so poor to make poor ones rich. See him in the garden. See him in the garden. You see him there? He wasn't a man. He was like a worm. All the wrath of God was upon him. All the iniquities of all his lambs and sheep was upon him, and he became to sweat great drops of blood. And when they came to arrest him, what did he do? What did he say? Did he run away? No, he didn't run away. What did he say? Take me. You see him there? You question his willingness? He's willing. He said, take me and let these go. See him on the cross. Listen to what he prayed. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, destroy them. Listen on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is he willing? He is willing, congregation. He has the power, and he is willing. Listen to two texts. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Is he willing? 2 Peter 3 verse 9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I can see your mind now. But what about election? What about election? How can these verses be in the Bible that he will have all men to who will have all men to be saved and not willing that any should perish? Open your Psalter for a moment. First, I would like to read an article from the Canons of Dort, page 107, from the third and fourth head, article 8. We will first read this together. Article 8 of the third, fourth head, page 107. As many as are called by the gospel are unfeignedly called, sincerely called. For God hath most earnestly and truly declared in his word what will be acceptable to him, namely, that all who are called, all who hear, should comply with the invitation. He moreover seriously promises eternal life and rest to as many as shall come to him and believe on him. Is he willing? He is willing. And my prayer is that you may hear it, poor sinner. You for who it becomes such an amazing wonder that he also calls you. Calvin says something beautiful about this. He says in the proclamation, in the outward call of the gospel, also in the invitation, Jesus Christ stretches out his arms to all. Sincerely, whoever will hear, come unto me. But then Calvin continues, and the Lord Jesus, that good shepherd, he stretches out his hands to all and he takes hold of some. And that's what we need. We need that irresistible power. In the outward call, he stretches out his hands to all. Come unto me. But he does more. He takes hold of them. Irresistibly in the heart, by the power of the word and the spirit, he takes hold of them and he draws them to himself. Irresistibly. And that's what we need. We need that blessed work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to draw us to him, to reveal him unto us. And those weary sinners, what do? They cry, Lord, draw me. Draw me. Draw me to thyself, Lord. Take me. Lead me. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. So we must conclude, congregation. He has the power. And he is willing. It's our guilt if we don't come. And that's what we do not like to hear. But may you hear it this morning. And that you become guilty. That it's your guilt. But also that you may be drawn unto him. To him. Come unto me. All ye that labor and heavy laden. And I will give thee rest. We hear this invitation numerous times in the Bible. For example, I think of the great example of Jesus Christ himself in another chapter in John 7, verse 37. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Come unto me. What is coming? That's important. What is coming? To come to church, children, you had to get up this morning. You had to walk. You had to go in your car. You had to walk into church. It's a movement. You had to come here by a movement to a place you need to walk. But have we? Have you come unto that only Savior? To think that you have come unto him and you have not and you die, and then to think that in your heart I've come unto him, and then to know that you have never with your whole heart and life come unto him, then you will be lost. What is coming? It's not just the movement of feet. It's much more. It's not just coming to church. It's not just reading the Bible. It's not just prayer. It's not just coming to the Lord's Supper. No. What is coming unto him? What is it? Some came to him and left. I think of the rich young ruler. He came to him and he left. He went away grieving, but he left. I read in John 6 that many came unto him, a whole multitude. They came unto him and followed him. But then Jesus Christ talked about the most essential, that they needed to believe in a suffering Savior, a dying Savior. And they said, those things are too hard. And they left. We read in John 6, verse 36, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. What is it then? Coming is not a bodily action. It's a movement in the heart. It's spiritual. It's by faith, fleeing unto him, taking refuge unto him by faith. And that faith may be so small and so trembling, but is it real? Is it essential in your heart? Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Coming is an act of faith. Do you have the book, ABCs of Faith, of Alexander Carmody? Read it when you go home. Coming is an act of faith. Faith, that great gift of grace of God. It brings action. It brings a fleeing unto him.
They hear the word, they hear the law, they hear the gospel, they believe who they are. They believe by a revelation of the Holy Spirit in the only Savior. They hear him. They're drawn to him. There's faith in him. They're drawn to him. Like that woman of the issue of blood. She came to an end in all her works, and she heard of Jesus Christ, and she went out unto him. Maybe you say, please, explain a little more. I want to know. I want to know this morning what that is. Because I want to know in my own heart and my own soul whether I've ever come unto him. It means that they hear the invitation with the power. It doesn't only enter into their heads and say, wow, that was a nice message this morning. No, it goes into their hearts. And it draws them unto him. They hear, come unto me. And it comes with power. Their hearts are moved by this invitation by the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, they see themselves as polluted, corrupt, lost, guilty, wretched. They see that they're under the wrath of God and worthy of condemnation, and they need a hiding place. Where is that hiding place? I need a hiding place. And it's revealed through the word of God, that only hiding place for lost sinners, it's in Jesus Christ, that only mediator between a holy and a lost sinner. He's revealed to them through the word. They see the absolute danger that without him, I'm lost. I need to be in him, under the shadow of his wings. And they're drawn to him. They flee to him. There's action in their soul, like that prodigal son. He couldn't stay in that place of sin anymore. No, he said, I will arise and I will go and I will confess. They come as unworthy ones. Absolutely unworthy. It would be such a wonder if he would speak peace to their souls. They see the sufficiency, the fullness, the beauty, and that only Savior of sinners. They see it in him, maybe just a little in the beginning. But then they see more and more. As they see more in self, they see more in him. They see him in him. In his wounds is the only place of shelter, because there is where God is satisfied, in those wounds of his dear son, of his sacrifice. Maybe they cannot say, he is mine. Is that you? Oh, if I could only say he is mine. Is that your heart? You need him. You long for him. There's no hope outside of him. Oh, if he could be mine. If he would speak to my soul and say, I am thy salvation. Oh, that would be a blessed day. That would be a blessed Lord's day for my soul. But do you need him? Is he the only one? No other. Nothing in self. But only in him. And he becomes the way back. Back to God. Back to the very God you have offended with all your sin and with all who you still remain to be. They hunger to belong to him. They hunger for his righteousness to cover them, an unrighteous, filthy sinner. They long for his blood to cleanse them from all sin. They're drawn to him. They see the beauties of who he is, of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And their heart is, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. They desire to come. They need to come, but they have no power. They have no power. They become so weary, so lost. They know what we read in John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. They know that. But that becomes a prayer. That need. It comes a prayer then. They cry unto him. Draw me. Draw me, Lord, and I will run after thee. And then there comes that action, that movement in the soul, the fleeing unto him, casting all their cares at his feet. As Esther, if I perish, then I'll perish at his feet, but I must be at his feet. And they flee to him. in all their wretchedness, looking up to him, waiting upon him, that he would speak to their soul. Isaiah 27, verse 13, and they shall come, which were ready to perish. Congregation, this coming is essential for your never-dying soul. It's of utmost necessity. You cannot just look at the gate. You cannot just know about the gate. You need to enter through the gate. Taking refuge. That refuge, taking faith in Jesus Christ, is essential. You must enter through the gate like Christian. You see him before the gate, he entered, but he also was pulled through. Beautiful. Precious. He went to the gate. He came to the gate. He was drawn to the gate, but he also was pulled in. Philpott says, there's two things that you and I need. There's two ways that the Lord will drive and draw sinners to Christ. Sometimes they are driven with that wind on their backs, that strong north wind blowing on their backs, driven by all their guilt, by the curse of the law, by eternity and hell, of the thought of the eternal punishment of hell. And they're driven to Christ. They flee to him like Christian. Life, life, eternal life. It's all perishing. And they flee to the rock of ages, that only Savior, Jesus Christ. But they're also drawn. They're drawn by those cords of love, by the sweetness, by his precious names and who he is. Jesus, Jehovah, saves. Drawn, come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Drawn, especially by the invitation. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. And we need both, to flee and to be drawn. But you say, but Pastor, if you knew my life, if you knew my life, I have sins in my life. They're so horrible. I knew it. I grew up in a Christian church. I went to Rehoboth Christian School. Or in my home, I was taught. But I willfully left it all. Didn't actually leave church, but I just lived for the world. I was such a great sinner. All my sins, they're so horrible. So provoking to that holy God of heaven and earth. Listen. He speaks. Come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. It's actually not even an invitation, congregation. It's much stronger. You say, what? It's a command. When you study that word, it's a command. He commands, come unto me. He's urging with his whole heart, sincerely, with love for your soul. Come. Come with all your burdens. Come with all your sins. Come now. Come today. Let's sing. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas, before we consider the promise. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. Psalter 124, the first four stanzas.
invitation to the weary, a description of the weary, an invitation to the weary, and now a promise for the weary. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will. It's not maybe, hopefully, possibly. No, it's a promise. It's a promise that comes from the Almighty Savior of sinners. I will give you rest. There's no rest outside of him. Jesus Christ is that only rock. He's the only place of rest for weary sinners. Nothing else. No experience. Did you hear me? No experience can give rest. Yes, they are blessings. And God's people have the experience. Don't throw them away. But don't make them your Savior. There's only one Savior. There's only one place of rest. And that's him. And that's why he calls, come unto me. Because you cannot receive any rest in anything outside of him. The Lord Jesus sees you, poor sinner. He sees you, weary sinner. He sees you longing to come, staggering, trembling, wondering, a thousand, a multitude of thoughts. And he goes out to them. Yes, he goes out to them. And he gives them. He meets them. He goes to them. He gives it to them. He gives everything they need. He gives them that rest. He gives it to those who have no rest, who have no money to buy rest, bankrupt, lost sinners. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He freely gives it. He gives it with joy. It's without money and without price. It cost him everything. It cost his Father everything. It cost Jesus Christ everything. That there is rest. It's through his blood, through his merits. It all comes from him. Rest. Isaiah 14 verse 3. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve. They see the rest. How? By fleeing to him. By looking to him. By coming unto him. By believing in him. With all their wickedness, with all their impossibilities, yet looking. It's by trusting. And trusting alone upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled it all. He had no rest. He had no rest. He had such a longing from eternity to come, to satisfy the justice of God. And he had no rest until he could cry from the cross, "But it's finished." Did you hear it? Finished. That's a place to rest. In the finished work of that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, that's where you may rest. All to be brought there. All to stay there. We're such fools. We want to find so many resting places and so many other things, but God has to cut it all off that we become absolutely restless and lost until we're brought to the place at his feet. He gives rest in what he has done upon his merits. Oh, to hear a little word from his mouth of peace, of salvation, that gives rest. To see a little hope. For example, to see in Christmas that babe lying in the manger, the Son of God, the Savior that came to this world to seek and save sinners, to believe in it, that's him, that's the Messiah. Oh, there's hope. There's a little rest. But then God says you must be righteous. And they see that they're unrighteous. And then they learn maybe through the word in time that he is the Lord, our righteousness. And then to rest in his righteousness. But then they also learn the Lord needs to be paid. His justice has to be satisfied. I have nothing to pay. How can I ever pay? How can I ever satisfy his justice? And then to see that precious
blood. That precious blood that flowed from the wounds of precious Emmanuel. And to believe what the Word of God says about the record of His Son and of His blood, that His blood cleanses from all sin. And oh, to taste a little drop of that blood for my own soul. Oh, what rest. What rest. Unspeakable rest. Unspeakable peace. Unspeakable joy in Him, in that Savior. No other place. No one else. No one else. He gives rest for the burdened conscience in His atoning blood. He gives rest for the troubled and agitated mind in His faithful, precious Word. He gives rest for the aching, sinful heart with His everlasting love. He will give rest for the hungry and the longing soul with His glorious being who He is. And He says, come unto me. Come unto me, and I will give thee rest. Oh, may the Lord richly bless His word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you who have no burden would be awakened, and you that know something of it may be drawn to Him and may taste of that rest. Woe. Woe unto you that hear and just go home trying to disqualify the message you heard this morning with this reason and this reason. I hope you lose it all. All your excuses, and you just go home guilty. Yes, guilty. That would be a good day. And you, poor sinners, I pray that you may be drawn to Him and that you may taste something of that rest. Oh, you say, I've been at His feet and I've been waiting and longing and longing. I miss that peace. Wait on Him. Wait at His feet, looking to Him, begging Him. And He will speak at His time. At His time. Incline your ear and hear, and your soul shall live, and I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Children of God, there's a rest coming. A perfect rest. No more sin. No more flesh. No more temptations. No more assault. There's coming a rest. A glorious rest, a peaceful rest, a perfect rest, an uninterrupted eternal rest. That's in heaven, forever with the Lamb. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. But oh, they will be doing a glorious work. What will they be doing? Hallowing His name of what we hope to speak about tonight. And you, trembling sinner, maybe you still tremble. Still so trembling. Is it for me? Oh, will He receive me? Is that your heart? Listen, we will end with the word of Jesus Christ. John 6, verse 37. And all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And listen. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, we beg thee richly bless thy words to the awakening of the unburdened who do not see it, who do not feel it. Oh, awaken them that they may go home lost and crying unto thee, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But oh, remember also those poor trembling ones. Draw them. And oh, may thy people also have a looking and a longing for that future eternal rest. Lord, keep us in this day. Help the brother elders in teaching in catechism. Give also to the students a prayer and a blessing under these means also. Bring us again here tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing in closing Psalter 310. 310, the first four verses.
I love the Lord for my request and humble plea. He makes his care. In him through life my faith shall rest, for he both hears and answers prayer. Psalter 3:10, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.